Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 17. Starting in verse 14, the Word of God says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which should believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It is very easy, and surprisingly so, that in today's Christianity, the Word of God is increasingly falling away from the churches, where you have messages preached on politics, you have messages preached on morality, you have messages preached on social issues, you have all kinds of preaching, but not always of the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that we don't address things, but I am saying that in the pulpits, we need to have the Word of God. We need to have the Bible. I heard somebody say one time about a church, there's too much Bible there. Well, I hope so. Because there is never too much, there is never enough. There cannot be too much Bible there. But the way that worldly thinking goes is increasingly the Bible seems less and less relevant to our society, and people would say that it is less and less relevant. Recently I heard a statistic about the military that for the first time in history, more people in the military do not believe in God than do not apply the Bible, accept the Bible than that do. And this is really to our demise, because once that starts happening in a nation, the nation will go downhill until it ends. Now, that does not mean that things cannot turn around, but that simply means that this is a sobering statistic. The Word of God is key to our lives. We know this. Every born-again believer who loves the Word of God knows its importance in their life. The preaching of the cross is vital in our life. We know this. To the world it is foolishness. To the religious crowd it's an offense. That's what Paul said. That to the world it would be foolishness, and to the religious crowd it would be an offense, a stumbling block. But to us it's the power of Christ. To us it is the power of our lives in the Word of God. The Word of God says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. How do I become set apart from the world? You see, it is one thing to be a believer. It's another thing to have a life with God. Not every believer has a life with God. Some people believe like the demons, where they believe and tremble. But not everyone who says, I believe, has a life with God. In Matthew 7:24, we know that there are those who will stand before God one day and say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful things in your name? Those people believe, but they don't know Him. They don't know who He is, and He doesn't know them. They enter into religiosity where they acknowledge the existence of God, but did not know Him. It is crucial as a believer that I get to know Him. If I'm getting to know God, I'll be sanctified. I'll be set apart for Him from the world. But that only happens through His Word. Now, it doesn't happen through the law. It doesn't happen through legalistic application. It doesn't happen by sticking to the letter. It happens through getting to know someone. The person that I'm getting to know, his name in Revelation 19:13 is Word of God. When I get to know the Word of God, I'm getting to know my Savior. I'm getting to know His heart. I'm getting to know how He thinks. When I get to know the Word of God, I get to experience His thoughts. How is it that I'm sanctified because I get to know someone? It's not because I understand the letter. It's not because I can uphold a religious servitude. It's not because I subject myself through legalistic application to portions of Scripture. That's not how I get to know Him. I'm sanctified as a believer by getting to know His heart. Only by getting to know His heart can I be sanctified. You see, what is it to be set apart? And often we may think to ourselves, well, it means I don't sin, or it means I don't get into worldliness. But this is a very superficial view of being sanctified. When I am sanctified, it's like a bride being set apart for her groom. That's what sanctification is, a bride being set apart for her groom, where she no longer has interchange with others of the same sort. She no longer gives her heart to another. She no longer has a portion in another. She is there for her groom. When I am sanctified unto God, I am the bride of Christ that is sanctified to her groom. In other words, my affections, my desires no longer go toward the world. My affections and desires no longer go toward sin, and that is true. I don't desire sin the way worldly, or maybe the way that I did before I was saved. I don't desire, my heart doesn't long after the same things that the world's hearts long after. I'm being sanctified. But that won't happen for a bride unless she knows her groom. It's impossible for me to give my heart to someone that I don't know. I may hear of them, but if I don't know in a pure sense their character, if I don't get to see their heart, if I don't get to experience who this person is, it's impossible for me to give them my heart. And likewise with the believer toward the Savior. If I don't get to experience who the Savior is, if I don't get to really know Him in a practical sense, if I don't know that He loves me in a very intimate and personal way, then I won't be able to give Him my heart. A believer who is sanctified is one who has given Him their heart. The way that that happens is through the Word of God. So the Savior said, sanctify them according to thy truth. Thy Word is truth. I find it interesting that He didn't just say, sanctify them according to your Word. But He said, according to your truth. Why? Because the Word of God does not necessarily have to represent truth. What do I mean by that? When Satan challenged the Savior, he used the Word of God. He used, it is written, but he didn't use it in truth. He used the letter of the Word as a deception, where he approached the living Word with the written Word, and he mishandled the written Word in his attack on the living Word. This was not the Word of God. This is not the Word that I get to know God in. The Word that I get to know God in is the Word that was made flesh, is the Word that lives among us, is the Word that speaks to the heart. It's the Word that in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have the mind of Christ. It's not only that it is simply something that I read and understand. It's something that I possess its thinking. I possess its heart. I possess its mind. It's not, this is why it's never legalism. It's not ever legalism. Why? Because legalism is a set of rules. The Word of God in the heart is a way of thought. It's knowing how to think with reality as it is, rather than trying to apply a rule to a mind that doesn't agree. The Word of God is the person of Christ. It is His heart and His essence. It's the thoughts and the emotions and all that make up a soul. It is, in fact, representing and communicating the soul of God. It represents both God's love and compassion and gentleness, but also His holiness and His righteousness. All that makes up who God is, it communicates. This is why it can only be set apart according to truth and not just word. You see, there is one who teaches me the truth of God's Word, and that is the Holy Spirit. That one, that is the one whose Word I listen to. That is the one, when Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It was the Word that in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit imparts to the heart. Do you recognize something? That the Word of God is not just words on pages in a book. The Word of God is alive. And though it is communicated through a book, it is alive. It's not something that I can necessarily grab a hold of. It's something that's given to me. It's something that the Holy Spirit imparts to my heart, to my life, as He is leading me in the language that God speaks. You see, the words on the page, you could think of them as God's language, but the Holy Spirit's impartation is what makes them His Word. And so I have to be very careful as a believer that when I handle the Word of God, that I handle it skillfully, that I handle it truthfully, that I apply it the way God had intended it to be applied. Because only then is it truth. So when we get to know God, when we are sanctified unto God by the truth, the Word is truth. It is truth because it's in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And Him applying the Word is what makes it truth. This is why we can never walk by sight. This is why we can't evaluate with natural mind. Because though natural mind may possess the memory of the words on the pages, but the words on the pages alone don't make them truth. The words on the pages must be utilized by the Holy Spirit before they become truth. This is why we don't live by fact. Because fact is another way of living by sight. By natural experiences and natural thinking. But the Word of God produces experiences for the believer. The Word of God, when I rest in that Word, when I rest in that truth, then I develop experience that produces hope that doesn't disappoint. But it's not a process where it's an instant thing. It's a process that is worked into me. It is really the whole process of being conformed to the image of the Savior. So when I'm sanctified by the Word of God, I get to know my Savior to the point where I become like Him. Sometimes you see this, people, friends hang around together. Have you ever noticed this? You get certain people hang around together and they become like each other. You can see this among spouses sometimes. You know, the two spouses become like each other. So much so that in some cases, you've seen it, they finish their sentences for each other. And they become like each other. Why? Because they know each other. And when I know the Savior, I become like the Savior. Why? Because I know the Savior. This is who I am hanging around with. This is who I'm receiving from. This is whose personality I am receiving, whose individuality, whose creativity, whose communication, whose heart, the whole thing that make up a being. These are the things that I receive from Him through His Word. People look at the Bible and say, I want to apply it as such, but it can't be done. I don't apply the Word. The Spirit applies the Word. See, this may be a thing that is kind of foreign, I think, sometimes to some people, that we don't apply the Word. The Spirit applies the Word. The Spirit is the one who guides in all truth. I don't guide in all truth. And so what I do is I get to know a person, and that person then guides me in the truth of the Word of God. And it's as He guides me and He teaches me that I get to have the mind of Christ. Because who has known the mind of Christ that he should be his counselor, but we have the mind of Christ? What does this mean? That means, how can I possibly know the mind of Christ according to natural thinking? But I have the Holy Spirit imparting that mind to me. It's a very different thing. I can know the letter, but do I know the person? There's a big difference. His name was Word of God. This is why in Psalm 119 and verse 89, the Word is forever settled in heaven. This is why it is immutable, it is unchangeable. This is why in 1 Peter 1:25 it endures forever. Because it is the essence of the Savior. His name is Word of God. As I get to know His Word, as I'm getting to know Him, I'm sanctified. I'm set apart unto my bridegroom. I don't want another. I have great expectation and anticipation in my heart because I'm set apart unto this one. And I know that this one will love me and take care of me. I know that this one will be my fulfillment. I don't try to find that fulfillment elsewhere. I'm sanctified. Apart from knowing Him, I can't be sanctified unto Him. The world will hate you for it because they hated Christ. You can call yourself a Christian so long as you are okay with the world. Then they'll respect you. But as soon as the Word of God is real in your life, as soon as you start being sanctified to become more and more like Him, the world will start to hate you. Why? Because the world hates Him. And so as I become more and more like my Savior, the world will accept me less and less. As a believer, I have to be careful never to be desirous of acceptance from the world at the cost of the Savior. I have to even anticipate that because of the Savior, the world may be completely rejecting of me, to the point perhaps in some cases of persecution. But then I have to make up my mind. Who do I love? Let me ask you, who do you love? Love the Savior first. Love the Savior first. And then let the Savior put love for somebody else in your heart. But love the Savior first. Because love apart from the Savior is not real. It doesn't actually exist. Why? Because 1 John chapter 4 tells us in verse 18, God is love. So how can I have love if I don't know the Savior? Love the Savior first. If you are married, love the Savior before you love your spouse. And let your allegiance first be to your Savior before it is to your spouse. Because only then can you have any allegiance to your spouse really at all. If you are single and you have friendships, then let your Savior be between you and your friends. Let your friendship first be to God and then to your friends. Because unless your friendship is first to God, you will have no friendship that is lasting and real toward your friends. So let it be to God first. If you are thinking of someday being married, and I know most of the ones who are not are thinking this, learn to love God before you love anybody else. Why? Because you won't have any real love for anybody else until you've learned to love God. Because we love Him because He first loved us. So if I don't love God, it is not possible for me to love somebody else. Why? Because I haven't received love. I don't possess something. How can I give to someone what I don't possess? So learn to possess it. Learn to receive it. Receive love from God first. And then you can possibly think about somebody else. But receive from God first. There is no such thing as love apart from God. If you think there is, you're probably deceived by affection. Because affection is a matter of disposition. Affection is a matter of appreciation. Affection is a matter of emotion. And though we do want affection in our close relationships, or certainly we do, but that is not the foundation of those relationships. The foundation must be the love of God. Whether it's a marital relationship or a friendship or whatever you have, father and daughter or mother and daughter or sons or parents or what have you, siblings, it must first be love of God or there is no love at all. Because love is of God. So where do I go to receive my love? I need to know someone who possesses it. I need to know my Savior. When I get to know the love of God, I don't desire the love of the world. Because the love of God is much better. When I get to know the love of God, I don't require getting my own way. Because the love of God is better. When I get to know the love of God, I don't require and I don't desire to always be understood. Because the love of God is better. If I get to know the love of God, I don't desire or require to be preeminent, to be in control, to have charge over things, to be the one who calls the shots. Because the love of God is better. I like what my wife says about her relationship with her mother and her sisters. She said she was an ornery kid. She liked to mess with her sisters. She liked to give them a hard time because she thought it was funny. And she didn't care what they thought because she knew her mom loved her. And so long as her mom loved her, she didn't care what anybody else had to say about anything, including her sisters. Because she knew she could run right to her mom and she would be loved by her mom. We are to be like this with God. So long as my God loves me, it doesn't really matter what else is going on. So long as my God loves me, it doesn't matter if you get me or you don't get me. So long as my God loves me, it doesn't matter if I got my way or I did not get my way. The love of God is better. The love of God is better. You see, when I get to know the love of God, I can rest. When I get to know the love of God, I can be confident. When I get to know the love of God, I have peace in my heart. Because I know whether things go my way or not my way, God's way prevails. Doesn't the Word of God say that man has his plans, but God's way will prevail? God's way prevails. And when I know the love of God, I know that that way is the best way for me. That is the way that will satisfy me. That is the place where I find my contentment and my peace and my rest and my security. That is the place where I find my value. That's the place where I find my significance. It's in the love of God. These are the things that fulfill and that transform. Where do I find the love of God? Through the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to my heart. And so I'm sanctified by His Word. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, God inspired the Scriptures. The word there is that they were breathed by Him. And that word is profitable. Do you understand the need that we have for the Word of God? It is easy in a busy schedule to neglect that Word. It is easy in a busy schedule to say, I don't have time, maybe later. It's easy in a busy schedule to say, it's the end of the day and I know I didn't get to the Word of God today, but I'm very tired. Maybe tomorrow. It's easy to put down the Bible. It's easy to turn off messages. Because after all, we have busy schedules and we get tired out. But do you recognize your need for the Word? Do you recognize that it is more important than your daily food in Job 23:12? Do you recognize that you can't really live a day without it? Do you recognize that that is the energy of your soul, of your heart? That is what keeps your heart? That is what establishes your thinking? Do you recognize that? In 2 Timothy 3:16 it says that God's Word was breathed and it's profitable. In other words, it builds me. God's Word is what elevates me. God's Word is what causes me to be a man or a woman of God. It's God's Word that does this. Never neglect God's Word. Do it at the beginning of your day. Receive the Word of God so you will be equipped for that day. It reminds me of soldiers going to battle but not equipping themselves with weapons. Such is the believer who does not equip himself with the Word of God for the day. In the morning, sometime in the morning, make time for God's Word. Just make time for God's Word. But I'm tired in the morning and I'm rushed and then get up a little early. But I'm tired. You'll be quickened by it. Make time for His Word. Don't wait till the evening. Do it in the morning. Because you're going to face a day. You're going to face a world system that is run by the enemy. You're going to face your old sin nature, which will never go away until you go home to be with the Lord. And you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to face the flesh and the world and Satan throughout the day, over and over. You're going to talk to people who need a Savior and not your personality. They need to see Christ. They don't need to see me. Get built up in the Word first thing in the morning. And if you need to get up a little earlier, then get up a little earlier. But make time for the Word of God in the morning. Because you'll need it that day. You'll need a portion to sustain you. It's like a person who doesn't eat. It's not that they can't survive physically, but they're weakened. And in a weakened state, you are more susceptible. You notice, like in the military, in basic training, they feed people ample amounts of food. And there's even a dietitian that the military has figure out all the meals to make sure that as the young soldiers, the new soldiers are going through their training and all the physical demands, that all the right substances are in their intake to sustain them. Yet believers believe that their soul and their spirit does not need to be sustained. That they can face a day without having received something first. That the rigors of the day will not derail them or challenge them as they operate in Satan's kingdom in the details of their lives. We have to put up with Satan's kingdom, but we don't have to be suckers to it either. We don't have to be weak as we go through it. We have to put up with it, but we don't need to be influenced by it. We can be well equipped so that it doesn't touch us in the practicalities of our day. It's profitable for doctrine. What does that mean? It builds me up in God's mind for all situations. That's what doctrine is, God's mind for the situations of my life. And the Word of God builds me up in God's mind for the situations of my life. It reproves me. How many of us have been convicted? How many of us have gotten our socks scorched a little bit in messages from time to time? Sometimes I'll put in a message and I thought it was going to be edifying, but it's very convicting. There was one. What was it? I can't remember the title now. Pastor Stevens' message is like The Mystery of the Glory of God or something like that, to that effect. And it sounds like such an edifying message. It's one of the most convicting messages I ever heard. I listened to that. I was expecting to be built up, and I just like walk a tail between my legs like, oh, I got burned. I got reproved by God. But God says He corrects, He chastens those that He loves. I need that reproof. Because inside of me is a deceitful heart. Inside of me is a sick head. Inside of me is an old sin nature that likes to crop its head up as often as it's able. Inside of me really dwells no good thing apart from the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God deals with those things. The Word of God quickened to my life says, hey. Yeah, you ever hear the Holy Spirit say, hey? Sometimes you can hear that. Hey. And you very quickly, oh, I understand. I understand. It's like your example today. I was getting on the phone to order something, and that voice, that still small voice, said, no, that's reproof. God guides me and reproves me. Reproof is like the shepherd's crook. He grabs me and he pulls me back. The Word of God does that. It grabs me and it pulls me back. The shepherd uses it when the sheep goes astray. The sheep doesn't know it's going astray. It's just thinking it's doing its thing. It doesn't know much. But the shepherd grabs that thing and he pulls the sheep back. That's the Word of God. That's reproof. It corrects me. I go through my life and I do things as best I can, but I'm a human being. I try the best I can. I try to be right with God. But I have limited understanding and limited capacity. And so the Word of God corrects me. I make a mistake. I start going down the wrong path. I start getting involved in the wrong thing. Not because I want to sin or anything. I just don't know. I made a mistake and the Word of God corrects me. And it teaches me in that correction It's good for instruction in righteousness. It's good to teach me how to live with God. It teaches me how to be a godly man. It teaches me what it means to be godly. It gives me convictions. It teaches me not so much right and wrong, but of God and not of God, which is much greater than right and wrong. See, right and wrong can be very wrong or right. But the Word of God teaches me what is from Him and what is not. And that's really what I'm interested in. Right and wrong is often a definition of culture applying sight. But the Word of God is independent on culture. Of God is independent of the way that society thinks. And so is not of God. How much society is not of God, but society considers it right. The Word of God teaches me how to live with my Savior. It perfects me. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. That's not what that word perfect means. It means that it makes me into a complete man. It grows me up. It produces maturity in the heart of the believer, so I may be thoroughly furnished unto all that is divinely good. Now that is not like human good at all. That is that I may be thoroughly furnished unto all that is of God. Whether it be a call or simply a sentence spoken, whatever it is that is of God, that it may be properly done and that I may be thoroughly furnished unto that. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How does the Word of God instruct me and correct me and sanctify me? Because it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. In other words, I have to recognize what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. The soul can cleave to the dust, but the spirit receives from God. I do not want to mistake this. It is possible that if I am not built up in the Word of God, that the longing of the soul will be interpreted as the initiation of the Holy Spirit, and it may not be. It may be because wanting is present and it comes the idea is conceived and wanting is present, that I can define that as being something that God is doing. But maybe it's not. And the Word of God corrects me in this. It divides the soul from the spirit. It divides the emotional components and the natural components and the human reasoning from that which is of the Spirit of God. So I do not operate in my life by what is of human reasoning. I do not operate in my life by what fits societal mores and expectations, but I operate according to the initiations of the Holy Spirit. And I don't worry about this is what I feel, this is what I want, this is what I think. And I'm not saying that God will withhold those things, but those things are proper in their proper order, but not out of order. It's, you know what it's like? It's like sex. Sex is right in the proper order, but not in the improper order. If it is done unlawfully, it is called fornication. And likewise, everything that my soul desires, if it is done unlawfully, it is out of order. But if it is lawfully, and I don't mean according to the law, I mean according to the Holy Spirit's initiation, properly. If the Holy Spirit brings something, then it is in good order. And then it is beneficial. And it has its rightful place. But often Christians say to us, this is what I really want. This is my heart's desire. This is my longing. This is what my soul cleaves after. Do you know who said that? Samson said that. He saw the woman. He said, my soul longs for her. But she was not of God. She was not a godly woman. But his soul longed for her. My soul can long for things. My soul can long for comfort or security or money or anything, people, anything, acceptability, recognition. All these different things that my soul can long after. And while in and of themselves, if they're in the proper order of things, they are fine. But take them out of the proper order and you've destroyed them. Just like when culture takes sex out of its proper order, it actually destroys sex. And it is no longer what it was meant to be. It was meant to be an expression of the love of God. And it becomes the expression of a consuming hunger. It becomes an appetite rather than an expression of God's heart. And so we have to keep things in proper order. The Word of God divides that. It keeps things in my life in proper order. It keeps things in my life to be right. It keeps things in my life and such as they are protected so that they are what God designed them to be. Not necessarily what my soul craves after, but the beauty of God's design rather than the corruption of a fallen soul. And so the Word of God divides the soul from the spirit so that all things may be given from God in proper order and that they may be received as God had designed them rather than as they are corrupted by the world system or the old sin nature or that Satan himself. God does this to protect us. He has to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts and reveals to us through His Spirit the pricking of the heart when conviction comes. That's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God separating and discerning the thoughts of the heart, separating the soul from the spirit, allowing me to live with Him, allowing me to live according to Him rather than according to a fallen nature. Do you see why you need the Word of God? The scriptures in John 10:35 cannot be broken. We can't say we don't need these. We can't say to ourselves, I can do without it. It doesn't apply to me. I cannot say that. The scriptures cannot be broken. The word broken there is lysinai. It's the aorist passive indicative. And what it is, the aorist tense means that it has no beginning and it has no end, but it is an ongoing, in this case, situation. The Word of God never could be broken. No, but a passive voice means that it cannot be done to the Word of God. That nothing can come against the Word of God to change it. Nothing can come against the Word of God. There it says to loose something what is fast or unbind it. Nothing can loosen the Word of God from what it is. Nothing can change the truth and the reality of it. I mean, the day and the age has no impact on this Word. It is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can change it. Nothing can change its effects. In other words, the Word of God does in the heart of a man what the Word of God has always done in the hearts of men. It brings them to Him. It transforms their lives. It gives them purpose and meaning and value. It's the great love in our lives. This is why people would rather surrender their life than to surrender their faithfulness to God. It's because of His Word. This is why some of those precious Christians in the persecuting countries won't deny the name of God, because they've learned the love of God. They've been sanctified. And even the world's offer of them possessing their lives is not more valuable to them than the love of the Word of God. You see, because of that Word, they also know that even if they lose their lives here, they will find them. That they obtain a resurrection that is filled with reward. They obtain a life with God in eternity. You see, this is the one thing, and the world likes to misuse this. The world points to this, you always want to point to what happens after death, but you never talk. Yes, because you don't believe that there is life after your physical body goes into the ground, do you? In its entirety. Well, we don't know what's going on. Well, I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on is this world is just a prelude. This world is not your life. This world is your prelude. And you may not like that if you are an unbeliever, and you may find that manipulative or whatever you want to call it, but I don't care. It is the reality of the matter, and you will find out the truth yourself one day. You will find out very well what the Word of God means when it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I don't believe in Him. You will. Oh, trust me, you will believe in Him. You can close your eyes now all you like, but the walls don't go away. You can close your eyes all you like, but nothing disappears. You just don't want to see it. But trust me on this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you can say you don't believe all you like, it doesn't matter a whole hill of beans of difference, because it's not dependent on you. Whether He is there or not there has nothing to do with whether I like it or I don't like it. This is reality. And you may reject it if you want, and you have that option, but I'll tell you one thing, you won't reject it for too terribly long. In about 100 years, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible was right. Well, I don't believe that. Then knock yourself out. You'll find out. Enjoy what you have now, because that's as good as it's going to get, if that is your mentality. But for the believer, we have a hope, because we know that this life is just the prelude. And the Word of God tells me what is coming. And every time the Word of God said what is coming, it came. That's why the Word of God could, thousands of years before it happens, tell us about space travel and tell us about airplanes and automobiles and submarines and nuclear bombs and attack helicopters and all the other stuff that they tell us. Why? Because the Word of God knows what's coming. And the Word of God tells us that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And the Word of God tells us what heaven is going to be like to some extent. And it also tells us more about what hell is going to be like. There are many more signs in the Word of God on the road to hell than to heaven. Why? Because God wants people to know it's real. If you see a burning building, you say, hey, the building is on fire, don't go there. You don't necessarily say, hey, the restaurant is a better place to be, as much as the building is on fire. Well, you know what? The world's building is on fire. But for us, we know where we're going. We have confidence in the Word of God, because it is the one thing that has always proven right. And for thousands of years, people have tried to say it's wrong and try to say, oh, we're going to prove it now. And for thousands of years, every single time, including in the modern age, the Word of God was right. Every single time. You know why? Because it is His Word. It's God's Word. It's forever settled in heaven. It is His identity. It's who God is. And it is right. This is why in Psalm 119 and 165, if I love God's Word, I'll have great peace and nothing will offend me. It doesn't mean that I'm unaware of what's going on. It just means that I won't be moved. It means that in my heart there is peace even though the world is falling around. Why? Because I love God's Word and it's produced something in me. You see, if I love God's Word, I won't just intellectually receive it. I receive it into the heart, into the frame of reference. Now, and even if I don't have the capacity to have that peace today, I still won't be moved away from it. I still won't be moved away from faithfulness to God, faithfulness to His call. And if that faithfulness is there, then God will transform who I am and He will build that capacity in me so that one day a trial may come and I will have great peace despite that trial. The fire will come and I'll be at peace because I've grown. Because the Word of God caused me to grow. And nothing will move me. And in 105 of Psalm 19, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why does it make that distinction? Isn't that really kind of the same thing? Well, no, it isn't. It illuminates my decisions for me and it illuminates God's will. And so it is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. It tells me when I can't see my way, it tells me what decisions I should be making. It tells me what thoughts I should be thinking because I have the mind of Christ, the mind of doctrine. And so nothing is really that confusing. I may not even know the outcome, but there is no confusion into what decision, what thought is the right thought or decision. It's a light unto my feet. And it gives me a hope for my future. It gives me an expectation and a confidence that God will do His will in my life. And it's a light unto my path. But it can only be shown me, it can only be given me by the Spirit of truth. Because it is something that is not just in a book. When the words are in the mouth of the Spirit, then it becomes Word of God. The book is the language, but the communication is the Spirit's. But I can't communicate with Him if I don't speak His language. You ever try to speak to somebody whose language you didn't speak? And you look at him. I went to Venezuela one time. That's before that guy who's that nut who's in there now was there. In 1986, I went to Venezuela. There was a godly president there at the time. I was in a hotel and somebody said something to me, and I didn't speak the language. I didn't know what those. I didn't know how to talk to them. I smiled at them. And he said something to me, and I didn't know this at the time, but if somebody who understood, who knew, it was, you know, the group that I was with, he heard me say this, and they spoke Spanish. And I said, "You don't understand." And he laughed, because he knew that I couldn't speak, that I was saying, "You don't understand." But he got it. But you see, it was a very limited form of communication. You couldn't really have much exchange. The Word of God is the Spirit's language. The more that I'm built up in the Word of God, the more clearly I can hear and understand what the Spirit is saying to to my heart. The more I get built up, the more I have the mind of Christ, I will know the initiation of the Holy Spirit when it comes. I'll recognize His voice because I understand what He says. It comes through the Word of God. And as that develops in me, He guides me in all truth. He applies that word to my heart in different things, in different ways, for different circumstances. And He even shows me the things to come that pertain to my life. He guides me. He'll speak to the believer and He guides them. And I have to understand that it's the Spirit that speaks the Word of God. It's never in the letter. It's never in the letter. It's only in the Spirit of God. But it's never in the letter. Learn to be sensitive to His Spirit. How do I become sensitive to His Spirit? What do I need to do to hear Him? That's the problem. I can't hear Him. What do I need to do to hear Him? That's the problem. It's not something that you do. Just be still. Just be still, and if He speaks, you'll hear Him. It's like this. You have a teacher in a classroom. If the students are talking, they don't hear the teacher. But when the students are quiet, they hear the teacher. When the teacher says something, it's like that. If there is a lot of clamor in my soul, in my heart, in my mind, then I won't hear Him when He speaks. But I learn to be quiet, I learn to be still, and then I hear Him as He speaks. You don't have to do anything, just be quiet, and you'll hear Him. He said, "My sheep will know my voice." I don't have to wonder, is that Him or is that not Him? Is that Him or is that not Him? No, my sheep will know my voice. When the Word of God speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, when He's speaking to my heart, I know His voice. There is no question. I know His voice. It comes through the Word of God. Do you understand why it is more important than even your daily food, than the things you consider to be necessary for that day? You can't do without it. You can't do without it. Receive it, masticate it, be faithful to it. Eat it. Eat the book. You can't do without it. Because it is really all that He is. Applied by the Spirit so that I get to know Him and be like Him. Amen.